that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
And good morning. That old wheel of the 7-day week has rolled around again, and here it is, Saturday morning, time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. We hope you'll join us. Pour yourself a cup of coffee. Get your Bible out. Gather around the computer if you're listening on the internet or the shortwave, and we'll be right back. Hope you enjoy this song. We sure do.
Don't be weak. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it ball for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, when it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning. That old week has rolled around again. And here we are coming to you live. Excuse me, live from the Radio Ranch. This Saturday morning, 19th day of November. And we've got charismatic, smiling cowboy Kyle. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Good. We got a couple inches on the ground and doing good this morning.
Good, good. And we got Ramrod John joining us. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Got Jason had to end up going to the dentist. If you're listening on Wednesday night, you heard Jason cracked a tooth pretty bad, and so he's kind of fighting that. And I saw him on, Thursday, and he's doing better, but he's still talking a little funny, so we thought we'd let him sleep in this morning, and John wanted to get up and join us, and so here we are, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And Pastor Peter started this Coffee with the Wranglers, just calling us all together early on Saturday morning. We'd come out here, and he'd have a big old pot of coffee ready for us, and he'd just open up the phone mic, and I think one of the things he liked more than anything else out here was that we just never knew what direction this program was going to go. We never knew what we were going to talk about. No script like the big boys have. No bank of writers writing things down. We just come in and open up, and here we go. So, well, Kyle, would you open up this morning with prayer and ask for God's blessings on this day and this broadcast for us, please?
Yes, sir. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we do come to you this morning. We ask you to be with us. Send your Holy Spirit down and guide and direct us in our thoughts, our words. And just be with all those that are yours today and watch over them and guide and protect them. And be with our brother Jason and his mouth and jaw and everything that's going on there. And we just ask for your healing hand to go upon him and make everything right with him, and again, I ask you to guide and protect all of us out here. Help give us the full armor of God, Lord, to
yes.
fight off the fiery darts of the wicked ones. And we ask for your peace to come upon us, Lord. And I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking of the scriptures that says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and the ears are open unto the prayers. And we come to you now, Lord, and we ask you to keep us righteous.
Yes.
You know, Lord, keep us from slipping back. Keep us from going astray. Just keep us on the straight and narrow so that you can hear our prayers and we'll answer them. And we come to you in the blessed Lord name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kyle. And like Kyle said, yeah, we all woke up to a couple inches of snow on the ground this morning here toward the end of November, but that's just about normal for this time of year, so not a
yeah,
real...
60 degrees yesterday and
yeah.
snow and ice this morning.
That's right. So how are things going with you, John?
Well, as one of our good brothers says, I'm abundantly blessed.
Amen. 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 And if you're listening in here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, again, this program is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and that's who we are, so named by Pastor Peters. And you're listening to three of the four staff members that Pastor Peters left in charge of the ministry with the responsibility of continuing it on, and that's just what we're doing. If you're on our Dragon Slayer newsletter list, you just recently got Volume 10 of our Dragon Slayer newsletter, and that volume was entitled Betrayed. And in that, we reprinted an article that the pastor did back almost 20 years ago. But when you read that article, I think you'll come across and come to the same conclusion if you join us for church on Sundays. And that is the truths that our pastor preached even 20, 25 years ago were, I guess you could almost say, prophetic in a way, because they certainly applied in the day that he preached them. But the article that we put in this last newsletter, as well as the Sunday sermons that are coming out, are more applicable today, it seems, than they were even in the day that he preached them. And so, again, just want to let you know, we do have Dragon Slayer newsletter. We mail out free of charge. If you'd like that, you can write to us. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We're also on the web. If you're listening on shortwave, I'll give you our website address. It is scriptures4america.org. That's scriptures4america.org. And you can go there and you can read the newsletters, see them there, or you can request to be mailed one every month when we do send those newsletters out. So, well, I'll start out with that, John. What do you have to bring to us this morning here on Coffee with the Wranglers?
Well, I had an interesting week. A good friend of ours down here, less than a year older than I was, than I am actually, had an accident, and he owned a greenhouse business down here and fell off the roof and in a freak accident ended up landing on his head and didn't make it through surgery. So it's been kind of a tough week. He was a good man. Probably one of the best examples of a family man that you could see. Good Christian, not perfect. None of us are perfect, but he had most of the pieces, and he'll be missed. I did end up going to a 3-hour memorial service before the funeral, the day before the funeral, and they said it was kind of like a wake, but it wasn't. It was pretty much a church service with testimony, and so they had some preaching, and it was okay. You know, we're used to the best, so it's a little tough to listen to some other preacher sometimes. But they opened up the mic to people who wanted to say some words about the man who passed, and nobody was getting up. So I felt like I better get up. So I got up and And the first time I got up and I spoke about him and how he was a man that you could shake his hand, look him in the eye, and know that he was genuine, and what a rare trait that is these days, and that he was very generous with his home, and he fed the multitudes, literally, because they had a real nice house on the lake, and there's always people there, and never once did he hold back from anybody. So, but then my daughter wanted to say something, and she wanted me to go up with her, and I went up again. And I said, I don't know if you folks believe in Holy Spirit-inspired thought, but Holy Spirit, give me something I'd like to share with you, you know. And I said, in the end times, the Lord calls the saints home, and we're right there. And if you ain't got your life right, you better get it right with God. And nothing else matters. None of this matters but the blood of Christ. And apparently they don't believe in the Holy Spirit in the Baptist
really?
Church.
Is that what it was, a Baptist church?
Yeah. And then, in fact, at the end of the assembly, the young man who's studying to be a youth minister closed the service, but he's also 19 years old and fighting cancer. And I felt Holy Spirit led again, so here I am getting up the third time and grabbed the mic, and I say, stay here a minute, and let's pray. So I prayed the prayer that our pastor taught us, the healing power of Jesus Christ to flow into his body, that by the stripes laid on the back of Jesus, he is healed.
Yes.
And that our Lord not only bore our sins on that cross, but he bore our diseases and our infirmities, and we're claiming that promise right now as sons of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And a little more than that, but it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit speaking. And afterwards, several people came up to me and said, are you a preacher? And I said, no, but I had a good teacher.
There you go.
And they said, well, you got guts preaching like that in a Baptist church. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord, for giving me at least a part of the guts that our pastor had, that my dad had. And it hit me pretty hard. And I'm just so grateful that we had such a great teacher and preacher and mentor over the years. And although I did not take full advantage of it, and I've asked for forgiveness, I did get a lot of nuggets, and lately those nuggets are being manifest. So I'm sure the Lord is using us four to continue on what our pastor would be doing if he was still here. So I'm grateful that God picks the weak and the foolish.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that is a that is a hard thing to do sometimes, but that also is the gift of the Holy Spirit that as baptized believers that we all enjoy and that we all
Amen.
Have, is that we can do that very thing. We can get up there and, like you said, have the courage to be able to step up in front of people. And you know, there's times that you may be led to share the entire gospel message. You know, there's times that, like you said, John, you're just given these nuggets to put out to give to these people. You know, there's a fine line there, I think, between casting your pearls before swine and trying to reach, you know, part of his remnant, people that are still reachable. And it's a hard thing to decide. It's a hard thing to come up with. But, you know, praise the Lord, when we do have that gift of the Holy Spirit that leads and guides and directs us, then, you know, we know that, you know, it's really not us presenting that. It's the Holy Spirit through us.
Right. The other thing I told them, and this is probably one of the most profound things that our pastor taught us last year in Branson, was that when he said he never had a bad thing happen to him, you kind of find it hard to believe, but if you believe Romans 8:28, you have to believe it.
Absolutely.
And that's what I said. I said, I know if this man who passed away was here, he would tell you to look at Romans 8:28 and the promise, you know, that the Lord will work this for good for those who love him, abide in him, and are called by his purpose. And I also told his son, who is, you know, considering the preaching route, I said, just remember, I said, at least many of you become teachers as you will incur stricter judgment. I said, the Lord's going to give you trials and tribulations because he'll test you when you decide to take on that role. And I think he really started thinking a little deeper into what he wanted to do. So,
well, that's good. That is good. I've got I'm bringing communion tomorrow at church, and Romans 8:28 is one of the I was working on the communion message yesterday, and Romans 8:28 is one of the sermon or one of the verses that I've got in the communion message for tomorrow. And you're absolutely right. The pastor had taught each and every one of us that you know, he realized that nothing bad had ever happened to him. That the things that had happened, God was always in control and still is in control. And you know, Romans 8:28 says that if you love him and if you serve him, well, then he works all things for good. But there is a price to pay for that, and there is a you know, certain things that you have to do to be in line with that, for that scripture to truly work out. But, well, good, John. I'm glad you were able to talk to them, and that is a hard thing. I've preached two funerals myself in the last several years, you know, it's almost like at times you can be torn between, you know, really just pounding the living, you know what, out of the people because they are so stiff-necked. And so many of us get so set in our ways, and I say that as a people, is how we are, that, you know, they there's times that they don't want to hear sound doctrine.
Yeah, well, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Because I don't care anymore. I'm getting to the point like Dad was.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, too, that and Kyle and I have talked about this a little bit, that, you know, it almost needs to be the way it was in the days of Jesus. You know, when he spread his gospel, he went to people and he spoke the truth and he said, here it is, basically, and this is a paraphrase, but here it is, take it or leave it. And then he moved on to other people, you know. And, of course, if others came back to him, you know, and had questions or required healing or whatever it was, you know, I don't think he turned many away. But, you know, he certainly didn't get there and just cram it down anybody's throat. He said, here it is. And the scripture verse that says, my sheep hear my voice, was how it was. And, you know, like you mentioned, we definitely are in the last days. If the people cannot see that, and so many of them can't, they just think it's business as usual. And, you know, if we can just get a Republican in the White House in 2012, hallelujah,
yeah.
Everything will be good. And, you know, whoever it is, you know, and the people just, you know, I'm reminded of in the days of Noah, you know, it says they were just doing their own thing, giving and taking in marriage, you know, getting up and going to work and just, you know, it was just as sinful a generation as there's ever been, and we're right back in that same boat today. We truly are.
Yep, amen. Repent or perish.
Repent or perish. That's been that certainly still holds true. It does. And we put that out there to you people if you're listening in. Again, you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Maybe you just tuned in and wondering, what are you listening to? What is this program? And this program is just today. It's three Christian men that follow the Lord Jesus Christ, men that have been baptized, yes, baptized, water regeneration, if that's what you want to call it, but have been baptized into Christ, into his death, so that we may be resurrected into his glory as well. And being baptized, we've been transformed from the dominion of darkness into the dominion of his light. And now that is our duty, and our job is to share that with you. And to let you know that you too can do that. It is a free
Amen.
Gift we've talked about, but you have to pay the price. Many times, our pastor paid the price, time and time again. But we know where that he, just as he was baptized into Christ's death, that he too now is able to share in the glory of his resurrection as well.
Amen.
that basically is how you do become a Christian. So that's what you're listening to here this Saturday morning, the 19th of November. So, well, Kyle, I'm going to take a drink of coffee and turn it over to you for a minute.
Good morning, Kyle. How are you, brother?
Good morning, John. And, you know, first thing I want to say is I'm proud of you for being able to do that. And I know you're going to, you know, give the glory to God and the Spirit. But there's so many out there that quench the Spirit, and I'm glad to hear that you didn't do that, because many times people have the Spirit moving on them to get them to get up and say something in front of people, and they, like I say, they quench it. They don't do it. They talk themselves out of it, and I'm real proud of you that you had it to do what the Lord wanted you to do.
Well, it's like that thought is, ask for it and you get it, you know. So I've been asking for more
that's
of the
true.
Holy Spirit, just like He taught us
Amen.
To.
Amen.
And yep. it's working. So, but you got to take that first step and be baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and then you get that gift of the Holy Spirit, and that changes everything. People don't realize that, but once you get that gift, you realize it.
Amen.
That is true. Yep. And then, of course, the second part is, how in the world can I follow up that? but, you know, Richard did mention the Dragon Slayer, the Betrayed article, and I watched the movie, me and my wife watched the movie, that sermon that he preached and wrote that article about, was about, and it'll make you mad because it shows how the Antichrist forces out there in California or wherever they are in Hollywood, and how they do whatever they can to pervert the true word of God and to make those that you know try to live by that word and believe that word as fools and you know horrible, hateful, you know just horrible people. But anyway. We watched the movie, you know, and I don't know if Richard, you played that CD in the office one day that we listened to it, didn't you?
I did, you know? Yes.
Yeah, and that was going, I didn't hear the whole thing because, you know, we're working and stuff and he's answering phones and that type of thing, but it was, and I could tell, you know, by what the pastor said back then that he had the same feeling and his wife and Monty, I think he said Monty made a comment on how, boy, they really did a good job, you know,
yep.
making us look bad. And anyway, it's a good article, you know. It, like I said, it's just another, what we say, kind of like a book of Paul's, you know, where it just tells you how they are, you know, and how to beware of what's going on and what their plans are, because for some reason. Even though most of the church world out there, and I'm sure the Baptists that John was in front of this week, they don't get into the bewares and the awares and the, you know, and the false prophets and the false teachers and the false brethren and the, you know, the things that are actually written in the Bible that Peter and John and Paul wanted us to be aware of.
Yes,
and it's not just one little verse here or there, people. If you open up the Bible, it's everywhere. For some reason, it is a must that we know what the devil and his children are up to. And anyway, that article's good, and it just lets you know that there's a battle, there's a war going on. You know, you can call it good and evil, you can call it, you know, darkness against light, you know. God against the devil, whatever you want to call it, it's a war going on, and, or like John just said a while ago, and you're not even in the war until you're baptized for the remission of sins. That's just when the war begins.
Right.
Amen.
And then it's battle after battle after battle, you know, and are you going to be the overcomer, or are you going to be overcome? Anyway.
Yeah, that leads me to another thought, too, is as I was standing up there and preaching, I guess. I look back in the pew, and there's my beautiful wife, you know, and she's teary eyed, but she's smiling, and she's, you know, she's proud of you. And boy, what a what a gift it is to have a Proverbs 31 woman. Because I know one thing.
Yep.
That man who went to his final resting place, his wife is not a Proverbs 31 woman. She has the Jezebel spirit. And fortunately for her, I wasn't brought to that scripture. But all I know is, Proverbs 31 says, description of a worthy woman, an excellent wife, who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. Her heart is for her husband. Trust in her, and you give her no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And that's what we have, men, for wives. And without them, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So
we just
remember that. And, and every now and then they get weak, and they can't take as much as a man because they are the weaker vessel. And that's when it's our job to step up and just say, look, toughen up, and but also to comfort them and let them know that, God's got this thing. So even when that,
yeah.
When her father passed, very few people gave her the time of day, but she went out of her way to try to do everything she could for those four children and for that family to try to ease the pain. And, even when people do you wrong, you still got to do what's right. And, even your wives can teach you things, because I was upset and kind of saying, well, you're going overboard, but the reality was she wasn't. She was doing what her heart told her to do, and what she did was right. So.
John, that's one of the things that that God does with us when he, with his people, his word says we are servants of Christ. And that is what we are to be. And many times I've learned, over the last 20 years on this ministry, that God will present things to you in your life and allow you to go through trials and tribulations and, have, just as Pastor used to preach, the storms will come and you have to have your house built on the rock. And if you have your house built on the rock, that rock that is Jesus Christ, then those storms come, the waves batter, the wind blows, and you're able to stand firm. And, it's hard. This life that we live, it is hard. We have heartaches, we have sadness, we have loss that comes upon us. But God gets us through that. And then we're able to look back and see, hopefully we're able to understand when it's happening, that God is there with us. He never leaves us alone. His Son, His Holy Spirit is always there with us to get us through that. And then once that is over, as servants of Christ, I believe He allows us other opportunities to share what we've been through with others. And when you said that about your wife, we all know how devastated she was when her mom passed away years ago, her father passed away.
Her brother.
And so, she is acquainted with grief. She's acquainted with sorrows. And so, I see, and I was not surprised at all at hearing what you said here about, how it's almost like she went overboard in helping this family. And I know the couple times I've talked to her about it, it's she did it for the children. She understood the grief that they're going through. She understood the sorrow because God had led her by the hand through that in her own life. And so she was able to be, without ever probably mentioning the name of Jesus Christ, she was able to be an ambassador for Christ in being able to share his Christian love, and being able to help this family through this time of sorrow. And I think so many times we don't realize that, that when we're going through those type of things, that God is teaching us, he's training us, he's giving us the opportunity to learn as we're going through it, so that down the road, he will have us the way he wants us to be, so that when there's a need with someone else, that we're able to, to fulfill that need and to help out.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. Some friends from the school, you know, they'll talk to Jody and say, oh, you're bringing your children to the funeral? And she just says, yeah, well, they're seasoned in funerals. kind of sad, but true.
Yeah. You know, there's a huge movement out there, you know, of all this. You mentioned a youth pastor earlier, one of these young men. And, you know, there's a huge movement in these mega churches and whatnot to have all these different services. You know, we've got a service for the little kids, and we've got a preteen and a teen service, and then, you know, the adults are over here. And it all separates out. And, you know, that is not, in my opinion anyway, a biblical way of worshiping and learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it goes along the lines of public school. You know, you got the kindergartners over here, and then across town you got, you know, first grade through third grade, and then you got, or fifth or whatever, then you got, you know, sixth graders are now part of the junior high, and, you know, and they separate all these out versus, you look back at like the old one-room schoolhouse, you know, that was part of this nation when it was created, and how school was back when God and discipline were still in the schools. And you had children of different age that had to learn to get along. You know, the older children learned, you want to talk about learning social skills, the older children had to learn how to get along with the younger ones. They knew they could deal one way, say a 16-year-old could deal with a 16-year-old one way, but when you've got a 6- or 8-year-old you've got to deal with, you know, they had to learn that you had to deal with them in a different way. And so that's the best way for social skills to be learned, you know. And but there's this movement, and it's been, you know, going on, and it just seems like the absolute norm, you know, the teen challenges and all the different things that they have. And I certainly, for one, don't agree with it, you know.
Yeah, they molded Christianity to try to reach what the youth has become instead of trying to
change the youth
mold
to reach
youth.
God.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right. You know,
the music and stuff like that, some of the newer music, there's some good stuff there.
Oh, there is.
And if it gets them into the churches to learn the truth, then I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, I told you before, and some people think it's right, some people think it's wrong, but I think it's a good example is my son Levi went to a church one time, and it's a huge church, a mega church. I mean, they got restaurants in this church, and he came back from that church that one, I think it was a Saturday night, and he just said, Dad, that's not church. And I was proud of him.
Yeah, and Levi's what, 8?
He'd never seen anything but a real church and a real man preaching.
Right.
And he said they didn't even open their Bibles. There wasn't one scripture read. And you know what? He appreciates our church, his grandpa, and his pastor a lot more.
Yeah, it just, you know, to separate the family apart in their time of worship. And so I mentioned that to say the same thing, to, you know, to separate the family apart or to exclude part of the family, you know, from a funeral service of a family friend. You know, the world, you know, just doesn't look at death in any way the way that the Bible does. You know, the Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die.
Amen. And nobody knows that day.
And then comes judgment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the world doesn't want anything to do with judgment. You know, they believe that, you know, oh, we're all good. And like Kyle mentioned earlier, the filthy Antichrist in Hollywood present out that, you know, with their movies, that, oh, we're just spirits and everybody just, you know, just kind of floats away. And it's all good, and you know, once you're dead, you can come back in the spirit and visit your children and wife and be a ghost, and it's just good. You know, they got good music playing in the background, and it's not biblical at all, and it's not the way it is. The Bible says it's appointed once for a man to die, and that includes women too, and then comes judgment, and the, you know, people out there need to hear that. Need to realize that you know, don't believe what, you know, just what you see in Hollywood. We had a little meeting with our volunteer fire department here last week, and and it was a public meeting with the district in town and whatnot. But there was a guy in there, an old guy that showed up, and he was all upset about what the district was doing and how they were paying their bills and with the mechanic and things like that. And he rattles off for 2 or 3 minutes, and he just, you know, had no facts whatsoever. And then at the end of it, he says, well, I know all this is true because I read it all in the Boomerang. I read it all in the newspaper. And he was basing, and he was just the exact opposite of what was truly happening. And I just present that as an example. You know, we learned that from the pastor, is, you know, what you see on Hollywood, what you see in the newspapers, you know, if you, from a Christian perspective, if you take pretty much the exact opposite, then
you're closer to the truth.
You'll be closer to the truth.
Yeah.
Than where you're at. I think Pastor said he learned that from it was either Colonel Moore or Pastor Jones.
Yeah,
mentioned that years and years ago, and it absolutely is. It absolutely is. So.
Well, the scribes were no different in Jesus' day when he was walling them than they are now. They just do their dirty deeds of their father, you know, and that's how it is. It's going to be portrayed how they want it portrayed, and you know that's why you should always pray, you know, to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Even though you might think you see everything and hear everything, I think there's so much more growth that a person could get if he just asked for it.
Right.
Go ahead. When you were talking about the children, you know, and when Paul's talking to Timothy, you know, he says to Timothy, I think it's in chapter 3, verse 15, it says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, there's the key to, you know, that's the raising up of our children. You don't need to have separate rooms in the church houses where the youth pastors are teaching them, you know, hardly any scripture. You know, they're teaching it. They might go into their favorites and what it means to them and all this stuff, but they're not learning the scriptures. You know, they need to be sitting in there in the pews with their parents, you know, learning the Word of God, and at home, learning the Word of God. This separation, like Richard was saying, you know, all it does is tear down. It doesn't build up the body of Christ, you know, and you can see the results of that all over the world.
Amen.
Yeah, that's correct.
Amen. Well, guys, what do you say we open up the phone lines? We're here live this 19th day of November, and boy, it's about a 22-degree, cold, white, snowy day outside, but we'll open up the phone lines, 307-745-5913. Let me put that thing on automatic answer. So if you're up drinking coffee, I finished my coffee this morning. I didn't bring a thermos. But if you're up with us, if you want to give a call, if you have a comment, by all means, give us a call and give us a good morning, 307-745-5913. And we'll sure do what we can to get you on the air. And talked with Jason. He does have got another good church service, some classic Pastor Peters coming tomorrow, and I believe it's a part two from last week's message, and that's all I'm going to tell you about church tomorrow as far as what you're going to see if you come there. We'll tell you how you can join us, and that is come to the website, scriptures4america.org, and
yep.
10 o'clock Mountain, 11 o'clock Central, noon on the East Coast, you East Coast people can sleep in and still come to church with real men and hear real preaching from the Word of God, from a real preacher. And so we invite you there again, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, and we'll start out with some music, and yours truly has a communion message, and we'll get
I'd like to tell the people out there too that these past four, five, six sermons that our pastor did 20 plus years ago are prophetic, and you know, I've actually been handing them out to people who don't believe like we do, and who don't see the truth, and they're starting to see the truth, and they're amazed by the teaching. teachings, you know, 20 some years ago. So all I could say is if you feel spirit led and somebody that you want to try to reach, order more of them and hand them out. Because we're right there, you know. It doesn't really matter what people think anymore.
That's right.
Repent or perish.
And
if you don't do your part to try to save those who are the remnant, you know, who's not, God may judge you too. So if you feel Holy Spirit,
yeah,
let's share the word, then share it.
It's a great teaching element. I mean, just think of all the programming that took place, you know, in everybody's lives from the time they were little. Well, these sermons basically are are on Romans 13 when you get right down to it, and they are great deprogramming, you know, passages and messages that are eye-opening, you know. And unless somebody just doesn't want to see the truth or God's blinded their eyes, you know, it'll help them. It'll help them get out of that years and years of programming that they've had.
Yeah, and Dad did all the work. That's the cool part. All you got to do is have the guts to share it.
That's
yeah,
true.
Absolutely.
You know,
and you know, John, it's encouraging to me here in the office to see the number of people that are doing just that. You know, we have people that if you can't join us, if you don't have a good internet, we also have DVD Church. We record the whole service and send hundreds out on Monday morning to people. And we've had people that have called and written in and said, you know, hey, send me two more of those, just like you're doing, John. They're handing them out to people and sharing them with people. And, you know, people will call in and sometimes order 10 or 12 to be able to do that. Had a man call yesterday and wanted 40 more copies of that last newsletter, Volume 10, to do that very thing with. And so we've prayed for laborers. We're seeing that God is raising them up out there. And it's just, again, it's encouraging to me. I hope it's encouraging to you to hear it, that people out there are doing that very thing. They're taking these messages and passing them out, giving them out, you know, becoming part of the outreach ministry in sharing the gospel with others. You look back, you know, the Bible that we read was written over 2,000 years ago, you know. That's when, you know, at least the New Testament was going on, and then the Old Testament longer ago than that. And because it is truth, it is still valid and even more valid today than it was then. And that's why the pastor's sermons are the same way. They are more valid today than they were when he preached them, because they're full of truth. So
yeah,
we encourage you to do that. We have those available, the extra newsletters, as well as the CDs and the DVDs of the Sunday church services. So
right. What's become pathetic in our land, though, is actually, there's several pastors at this gathering, you know, and we got to talking about the Lord's Prayer and the full armor of God, Ephesians 6, and these are pastors, and you know, they're new age, you know, and they really are like, wow, that's a good idea, you know, to pray the Lord's Prayer every day and put on. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yep.
You're a pastor and you're not praying the Lord's Prayer? And they didn't even know it. And I'm like, holy cow, it's amazing how far we've slipped. But when you got these false teachers out there, and, you know, they go through these seminaries that our enemies have infiltrated, and they all but removed the true word of God, what do you expect?
Yeah. Well, when, you know, when you're used to going to church, and like I said, you hear a 20-minute sermon, and they only really quote maybe one verse out of the Bible, I mean, it's going to take you a long time to learn the Bible, because, you know, most of those people aren't going home and reading the Bible, you know. So they go there, they hear one little verse, and then they have to hear the rest of the, you know, 18 and a half minutes on what the pastor thinks about that verse, which is probably wrong. You know, I mean, it's like, it's just feeding the beast, or whatever, however you want to call it. It makes it, you know, it compounds the problem instead of, you know, helps it out. They'd be better off to stay at home and read one verse, or, you know, because maybe it'll lead into two. but
right.
Anyway,
that's like when you're rattling off scriptures, they're like, well, how do you do that, you know? And these are pastors, and I'm
right.
Like, well, what do you mean, how do I do that? I read the word, you know, and I'm baptized, and I received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I ask for more of the Holy Spirit, and I ask for the wisdom of Solomon, you know.
And the Bible,
we have not because we ask not.
Absolutely. The Bible says if you ask, it'll be granted. If you knock, the door will be opened. If you seek, you will find. And that's what it is so few today are seeking. I learned that many years ago that, you know, if you are a Christian, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you get when you are baptized. And that's why so many people don't, quote, get it today, is because they aren't baptized. They might believe. If you're out there and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on the cross, you do very well, the Bible says. So you know, there's a check mark on your side. You do very well if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But know this, even the demons believed, and they shudder.
Yeah.
And so, if you believe, you are at the same level as the demons that the Bible talks about, because they believe also. And so, you know, if you want to get a little higher than the demons, if you think you're a little better off, you should be a little better off than the demons, then you have to do a little more than believe.
Yep. Amen.
And if you read the book of Acts, you know, I don't think the pastor made it to this Radio Ranch microphone or his pulpit without telling the people about Acts 2:38. He, you know, the apostle in that day was talking to believers, and he was talking to the believers that had realized that they had crucified and killed the Son of God. And when he told them that, they realized it, and they said, "Brother, what do we do? What do we do?
How far have we fallen away when even the Baptists don't believe in baptism other than an
outward sign of
inward grace or whatever?"
Yeah.
I didn't want to know the other doctrines, you know?
You think about it, you know, you have all the, you know, John 3:16 people out there, I mean, many of them preachers and pastors or whatever, and then they have their congregation, you know, their followers who are John 3:16 people. Well, they're, you know, and there's nothing wrong with John 3:16. That is the word of God, you know, coming out of the mouth of Jesus, you know, but there's a growth. You have to become, you know, more mature, you know, and as you go more mature, then your next step might be Mark 16:16, where it adds a little bit to it, you know. Doesn't change John 3:16, which is, says that you must be a believer, you know. But it adds to it, and it harmonizes it, you know. And it says, well, now, you know, you must believe and be baptized, you know. And then you can go to Acts 2:38, where, yes, you must believe and repent and be baptized. I mean, there's just additions as you go through your life and as you go through the scriptures, you know. It's just, it all harmonizes together if you let it. You know, one verse isn't more important than the other. It's like Pastor used to say, it's like an engine, you know. I mean, it ain't going to start without a battery, and it ain't going to start without a starter, and it ain't going to start without a key. I mean, there's lots of elements, you know, to being a true believer, you know, one with faith, which is faith and work, you know, to, you know, and it's just, you know, it's just simple stuff. It's like, you know, 1 + 1 and 1 + 2, and, you know, I mean, we're at the basics there, you know, but it just seems like a lot of the purpose of these false prophets, false teachers are to get you to that belief stage, and then they shut the door, you know, and they say that's all you need, you know, and that is more evil than somebody who's saying, I'm an atheist, you know, because they're taking people that actually have that yearning at first, that calling, you know, and then they shut the door on them, and then they're not chosen, you know. So it's a horrible situation out there in the churches. I wish it wasn't like that, but that's where it is.
Yeah, amen.
No callers this morning, are you?
Well, I guess not. Nope. We do have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you do want to call in. You know, we've got our date set for Branson for 2012. It's June, I believe it's 1, 2, and 3. It's the first weekend in June, the weekend after the Memorial Day holiday. And we'll be back in Branson for the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, June 1, 2, and 3, to continue on with the big Branson bash, we call it. So if you want to attend, we'll be getting a registration out in the mail in our Dragon Slayer newsletter, the first of the year, January, February. And do require registration. We've only got so much room. We've only got room for so many people, so we will need registrations back in. But we hope that you can schedule now, get your vacation scheduled, and join us there in Branson, Missouri, that first weekend in June.
That's the remnant to pray for us, to guide and direct us and grant us wisdom that we bring what the Lord wants us to bring. And I know we have some ideas. We have some ideas for some new weapons, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit would put all that together and we'd be able to present it in a professional way, just as our pastor did for years before. And we're moving forward, believing God's hand is still upon this ministry, and still that Christ is still the head of this ministry. So we just pray that you folks out there, the remnant, would continue to pray for us.
Amen. Well, let's see who we got calling in this morning. Good morning, and thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Cal.
Let me ask this up. This is Cal. I was enjoying the Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and I'm looking at the picture that was on the back cover of the Dragon Slayer, the memorial issue.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Peters holding this coffee cup, and I was saying, man, what a great picture to have hanging here with all the things that are going on, to be able to remember his faithfulness to God's word.
Amen.
And his kindness and meekness and humbleness, and yet the truth was from his lips all the time.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
It was just wonderful, and I'm so happy, John, you could go down to that memorial service for that man, because I have my youngest son is on the roof a lot, and boy, I'll tell you, and just out of a twinkle of an eye, you could be gone to your reward or judgment, whichever.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks a lot, Cal. You have a great weekend, brother.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And the phone lines are ringing. We'll see how many of these callers we can get in. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers. Good morning.
Good morning. Good show. I sure appreciate what Kyle just said. That's sure good. I just wanted to say that I pray that God would grant us to never, ever be found not caring. I believe that that's a critical part of our health and welfare, is to care in the soul, caring in the heart, and I appreciate you guys caring. And carry on with the good job you're doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. God bless. And phone lines are still ringing. That's how we'll finish this morning out, I guess. Oh, lost that one. Let's try this one. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Oh, hi, Richard.
Good morning.
Can you speak up a little bit? I can't hear anything.
Oh, sure.
Hi, Richard. Hi, guys. Am I on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's Brent calling here. I just, when you were talking about Acts 2:38 and that, I was out for breakfast yesterday with my children, and there's a couple guys next to us, older guys, and they're having a real good conversation, actually. Felt like joining in. You know, they're talking about the Bible, and they were talking about Billy Graham and how his stats are. So, you know, a couple of years after people go forward, there's nobody left, and, you know, it was really good. They were, you know, pretty well trashing him, which I enjoyed. And so then before I left, I went over, and I said, boy, I was listening to you guys, and I said, some good meat there. And I said, I was tempted to come and sit with you. And they said, oh, you should have. And I said, but you know, you're right about Billy Graham. I said, you know, he says, you know, just believe on Jesus tonight. And I said, there's nothing in the Bible there. And I said, but he'll never preach Acts 2:38. And he says, what's Acts 2:38? And so I recited Acts 2:38 to him. And you know, I said, have a good day. But the thing was, these, you know, they had good stuff they were talking about. And but when I mentioned Acts 2:38. You know, he says, well, what's that one? So, anyway, just thought I'd throw that in, sort of falls in with what you're talking about.
Thanks, Brent.
Howdy.
All right, have a great day.
Yeah,
that's Brent. A good Christian man, Brent, up in Canada. He gets down to the church a couple times a year, him and his family, and we sure appreciate them. And, you know, and that in itself just lets you know, people, what an international ministry this is. because Canada is truly a foreign nation anymore, just as foreign as Mexico is. And but Brent's a good Christian man, and like I said, does what he can to fellowship and support the ministry, and we appreciate the call.
Yeah, if it wasn't for people like Calvin and Guy and Brent and the rest of you out there, we wouldn't be this right now.
Amen.
Keep WTWW in your prayers too, and the people who run that, because they're gracious enough to air our pastor, and you people provide to make that possible. And I think better than 50% of this ministry has come to the truth through shortwave. So I just ask you to keep that in your prayers, and keep the men who keep that going in your prayers too.
Amen. And guys, we're running out of time here. We just again want to put out to everybody out there, we invite you to church tomorrow. Come to church with us. You've heard it here that real men don't go to church. We put that out, but you can come to church in your
Let's
own
pray
home
real quick.
If you have your internet. Sure, John, go ahead and lead us.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this time that you've given us today with my brothers on the phone. Lord, we're grateful for the wisdom and insight and Holy Spirit leading. Lord, I think of the sign that our pastor had, best sermons are lived, not preached. And Lord, I know you're bringing things into our lives to give us things to talk about, to teach your people, and we're grateful for that. As we come into Thanksgiving, Lord, let each and every one of us be grateful for whatever we have.
Yes,
Lord, everything that we have, because we have nothing without you. And Lord, we just, there's a family in Texas, dear friends of ours, that coming up on a two-year anniversary of losing their patriarch, a dear member of their family. Lord, I pray that you would comfort them right now, Lord. Comfort all your people who have suffered loss, and let them know, Lord, that Romans 8:28 is true for those who love him and abide in him. And we just pray for your blessings on the service tomorrow. Pray that you guide and direct us, grant us wisdom. And Lord, we pray that our pastor's sermon would be even more of a Satan stomper than it was 20-some years ago, Lord, before we even knew as much as we know now. We're grateful that you continue to reveal the truths that are hidden in this Bible. And I pray for my brothers that you would bless them, keep them, make your face shine upon them, lift up your countenance to them, and grant them peace. In Christ Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out. Head them off. Head them off. Move them out. Move them out. Head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. be waiting at the end of our ride.